to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Owen King's new novel, Double Feature, is about a young man coming to terms with his life and the process and aftermath of making his first film. Filmmaker Sam Dolan has a difficult relationship with his father, B-movie actor Booth Dolan, a boisterous, opinionating, lying Lothario whose screen legacy falls somewhere between cult hero and pathetic. Owen King joins us to talk about his novel, writing in the shadow of his father, Stephen King, and the knack of being moving and funny. It's a great pleasure to welcome Owen King to this week's book show.
Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
What was it like for you in the reviews that I've read of this book before actually reading it myself? Kept on saying that it was epic and ambitious, and then you read it and you realize it is all of that. And I'm interested of how many years and how much time ultimately did you put into this?
I worked on the book off and on for about 6 years, something along those lines.
Which seems like a long time, and yet at what point do you know that you're on the right track and you are, quote-unquote, getting it right?
I think that I knew that the first part of the book has to do with a young man, the main character of the book, Sam Dolan, making an independent film. And once I got through that section of the book that's about him making the film, and then the second part of the book has to do with his life much later on, I think once I got through that first section of the book, I knew that I was pretty determined to write the whole thing. But there were a lot of research challenges along the way. For instance, the book has to do with cinema, so I wasn't a film major in college. I didn't go to graduate school for film. I've never directed a movie. I pretty much just watched movies before I wrote this book, which has so much to do with film directing and film criticism. So I had some long periods of time where I was mostly refining what I had already written while I put myself through Netflix film school. Right, so I had to watch. There's a lot of Sam's father is a B-movie film star. The star should probably be in quotation marks,
right.
But he is featured in a lot of B-movies from the 60s and 70s, and the early 80s. And I was pretty good with the early 80s ones, but I had to go back and see all the Roger Corman films or a sampling of them, and a lot of other things from the 60s and 70s, and I also tried to give myself just a little bit of a survey in classic film, because I had a recurring fear that I would go and do an event and someone would say, "Who's your favorite director of the French New Wave?" You know, and I would be like, and not have an answer. So I tried to get enough so that I could speak at least as well as a sophomore film major.
I like the idea of this Netflix film school. So you're really setting the agenda, the syllabus as to what you wanted and what kind of film you're talking about, because this actor who has a great name of Booth Dolan. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a B-movie actor name.
Thank you. I did feel like somebody asked me just the other day, do I put a lot of thought into the names of characters, and I put some in there. I've never quite had the gusto to do that Pynchon-esque thing where I just remember there was one character in a Pynchon novel whose last name was Pretty Place. His name was like Dave Pretty Place or something like that, and I could never do something like that. But with Booth, he's a larger than life figure of the Brian Blessed, Donald Pleasance kind of variety of B-movie actor, and he had to have a big stony name.
And is it part of writing about this is also writing about our culture, about a movie culture, and as you indicated, a culture that you were very familiar with to a point. So it does speak to our collective interest in that as a subject.
Absolutely. The book is very much about Sam's preoccupations with extremely serious, earnest state of existential filmmaking. It's never fully unpacked in the book, but for instance, his touchstone as a filmmaker is the Lars von Trier movie Breaking the Waves, which is not a laugh a minute kind of movie. And the book is about Sam being 22 and being very self-serious and thinking what he's going to do is going to change the world, whereas his father is his background in film is all these B-movies, things like the Corman films, the Poe adaptations by Corman that are enormously entertaining but also undeniably cheesy. And there's this tug of war in the book that hopefully goes beyond just high and low, about what it means to like these respective things and what they say about us. That's right.
Right. And what is art, and even something that falls to a B level,
right,
is still an artistic endeavor.
Right. And that part of it for me comes from, I feel like people often lose sight of the idea, not the idea, the fact that even on, I forget the name of it, it's been erased, probably this is a good thing, from my mind, but the latest Adam Sandler movie that got, you know, breathtakingly horrible reviews, even by his standards.
Blended.
That's
the name
Thank
of the
you,
film.
Joe.
I saw it. I lived through it.
You're still
here.
That's
as far as I'm going to go.
You do
go,
look. You don't look like the same man I've seen in photographs, though. There is something drawn in your face. But I feel like oftentimes people lose sight of the fact that even with a film like that, there's this massive crew that worked super hard to make it. With movies like The Mask of Red Death, which is probably my favorite Corman film, either that or The Premature Burial. On films like that, which are actually good in their way, not perfect, but good, you have a sense of how hard the actors and the director and all the people who were involved worked to make this on a shoestring. And even though it's not a masterpiece, the sort of collective will to get out and entertain is really inspiring and sweet to me. And so that kind of art isn't great art, but it's still art.
So not to be overly psychological, do you think then about, as you're writing a story like this, about the craft of writing art, a novel,
mm-hmm.
In your case, a very in a novelist's case, a very solitary way. Meaning it's all on you.
Yeah. I don't, except when it's agonizingly hard. It's a pleasure to do, to create that world. It's a very involved process, and the book spans many, many years, so there's a lot of thinking about how to wind past events into present events and keep the characters intersecting to get to the places I want them to go. The solitariness of it doesn't feel lonely to me most of the time.
And not even lonely, but as much as that it is on you, but there also with that comes great freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a special aspect of writing a novel, is that you do have so much freedom. You know, when you make a film, when you write a screenplay, it is just the guide, basically, to get the real filmmaker started.
Right.
It doesn't mean a thing without the director and the actors and the set designers and all the people that do the things that make the movie. Whereas when you write a book, you are all those things up to a certain point when your editor comes in.
The novel is Double Feature. It is just out in paperback from Simon & Schuster. At what point did you decide that, okay, this is what I want to do? This is what I want to do with my life.
To become a novelist?
Yeah.
I'm not sure there was exactly a moment. I think I come from a family of writers, and in fact, I think because I do, I had a sense of what a hard job it is in some ways. I mean, not hard like zinc mining or something like that, you know, not dangerous hard,
right,
or not, not physically demanding hard, but that it is a taxing endeavor that goes on day after day after day. Is, you know, I grew up seeing my father and my mother go to their offices every day before I went to school, or around about the time I left to take the bus. And when I came home, oftentimes they were still at it. And you'd hear the keys clicking beyond the doors. And it's it kind of gave you a feeling of, this is might be boring, might be really lonely, but it definitely is very much stuck in a seat kind of a job. And I wasn't sure that was for me when I was younger. But then as I got into college and started studying writing, and I'd always been a reader, it just kind of caught with me, and I kept working at it.
I just realized as I'm talking to you that your father, Stephen King, has been a guest on the show. Your brother, Joe Hill, has been a guest on the show. And your wife, Kelly Breffett, has been a guest on the show. And so you are surrounded by writers, and which makes me wonder of what the conversations are like. Is it completely familial, or do you talk shop?
I think it depends on the situations. It's mostly familial. I talk a lot of shop with my wife. My dad and my brother talk a lot of shop. I talk shop with my dad sometimes, a little bit with my brother. I mean, all these things come around, but it's not the kind of thing that you do over the dinner table, because it is just so between the two people talking about it. Nobody's story or book or whatever ever gets like bounced around at the dinner table. That's right. That would be a very weird feeling. We do certainly talk about things and share manuscripts and so forth.
I guess I saw something on Twitter that you'll go out and do book readings and events with your brother. And that must be interesting to sort of see the respective fans, who's reading what, and kind of get an idea what's out there.
It is. And I've done events. I think I've done events now with everybody in my family at one time or another. And it is, it's very fun. I think for me, I've often found it kind of moving how my father and my brother, you know, both best-selling writers, and I am not, but I find it very moving how a lot of times the fans of their work will come and give my stuff a shot and be very enthusiastic about it, even though it's not a horror novel. It doesn't have, I'm trying to think if there are any dead people in the book. There's certainly no supernatural events that I can recall.
Mostly cinematic death,
yeah, I guess,
right?
I guess I there's a lot of cinematic death in my book. But anyway, I find it incredibly generous that so many of their fans have been willing to give what I'm doing a shot, and that's cool.
Your brother making a conscious decision to say, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to go under the name of Joe Hill. Your father certainly played with writing under a pseudonym. Did you even consider that?
I thought about it. Joseph is older than me by 5 years, so I was aware of him writing under a pen name for many years before it was public knowledge. So it was on my radar screen. I guess I kind of made my decision based on watching his experience, which was that it seemed potentially very involved, and he could speak to this better than me, but he had planned to keep it a secret kind of forever, that he was Stephen King's son. And that seemed hard to me, just logistically. Like, how do you go to bookstores, and how do you present yourself to publishers? Like, do you legally change your name? Like, what would you do, kind of? And so that I found that kind of difficult to wrap my mind around. I thought it would just be easier just to go forward and kind of get it out of the way. And I think to some extent I had the naive idea that because I tend to write comedic fiction, call it literary fiction if you want, but it isn't supernatural, it doesn't hit the major genres really, I kind of thought no one would care, and I was certainly wrong about that. It's not been the case. I mean, this is my third book, and it definitely comes up, and it will always come up. It will be, you know, that my father's Stephen King. It will be the first line of my obituary. I've said many times before, and I'm fine with that. In that sense, I definitely thought that just being Owen King would be fine. I didn't think anybody'd mind, but it's not quite turned out that way.
I remember years ago talking to your mother, Tabitha King, who's a wonderful novelist, and she spoke to the difficulty of what it was like to sort of get in the door, to get around that elephant in the room, not so much in any other venue, but then in a publishing office.
Yeah. I don't think it's been that much of a problem. I feel like people have tended to take me pretty seriously on my own terms.
Right.
And I feel very lucky in that sense. But I also feel like I've worked for it. But we'll see how it continues to go.
So how do you want it to continue to go?
Well, I just want to keep on writing books. I think that the goal is always just to do well enough so that somebody will give you your next contract.
Mm.
I think that's the idea, is just keep writing the stories.
There is, you were talking about the book a moment ago in your description of it, of saying literary fiction or comedic, but there is a satire quality here.
Sure, absolutely. It's certainly Sam's character has a satiric tilt in the way that he relates to film. I mean, it has a lot to do with a kind of film snobbery, pretentiousness, but I also don't think that that's something that he should be entirely condemned for. I think that it comes from a pretty honest place. I just think he's very young in that part of the book. And then in the later part of the book, I think that he's come around to being a little bit more open-minded about different kinds of film and different kinds of experiences in general.
I've talked about this with a number of writers, and I always find it fascinating of writing funny. At what point does it, if you're going through a draft process and revisions, does it lose its humor for you?
That's a great question. I still find some things funny. I guess what happens is that if you work on a book long enough, and I certainly worked on this one long enough, at a certain point, you just start getting the urge to cut everything out until you're left with like two sentences. And that wouldn't be very good bang for the buck. So you have to kind of try to remember what it was you thought was so delightful and clever about what you wrote months and months and months ago. And I would say it stops being funny after like the fourth year or the fifth year for me. Most of the jokes kind of died. Some things can regain their comedic value if you read them in a public setting and hear people laugh, or if somebody tells you such and such moment was really, really funny to me, and then you find yourself thinking, wow, that was hilarious. I was really great that time, and it comes back.
But there's also, it's a part of you. It's your voice. That mm-hmm. It is your voice. It's not as if it is forced. It is something that I assume, and this isn't to undercut the skill of the novel writing, but there is a natural quality to it.
Yeah, you want it to feel organic and funny, but not working too hard to be funny, and it has to do with the situations and the overall narrative arc. But I think a lot of what makes a funny book, and hopefully mine is funny, it's not really for me to say, what hopefully makes a funny book funny is the tone that you strike for the point of view of the book. You know, if you read something by Dickens, he's not generally writing about people who are the protagonists of the book don't, in and of themselves, don't tend to be funny.
Right.
It's like, you know, Arthur Clennam and Little Dorrit aren't all that funny as people in Little Dorrit, but they're surrounded by all these amusing characters who Dickens shows at their most amusing, or he's able to illuminate what makes them so funny. And that all has to do with the tone, not the characters themselves exactly.
Right.
The central characters, I should say.
There is a wonderful cadre of characters there that are supporting but have incredible eccentricities.
In Double Feature? That's the part of a big novel that I find so attractive is that is building up this big cast of characters that complement and conflict with each other in interesting ways because they are either eccentric or formed, deeply formed in a way that's oppositional from some of the other characters. I love that part of a big book, and there's not much that I enjoy more than as a reader as in sinking into a book like that has all these supporting characters that play off each other and keep circulating.
I like the term big book. It implies a complexity, right? It implies a large cast, a complexity, and an epic feel to it that wouldn't necessarily be there in something 300 pages about an afternoon.
Yeah, I don't think it's totally unheard of to read a very, very short book that has just a few characters that somehow achieves bigness. I don't think it's unheard of, but it is not too common. And with a big book that's got lots and lots of characters and lots of storylines that intersect and go in and out, you get that.
So will you, in the next go around, 6 years, or what is your, what's the time frame?
I'd like it to be a lot shorter. I have a graphic novel that I co-wrote with a good friend of mine named Mark Poirier, who's a screenwriter, that's coming out from Scribner probably in late 2015. So I do have something that I'm excited about next, but that's a very different process than writing a novel. So it could be a little while. I'm going, but I'm not fast.
Do you like and do you think that the work ultimately benefits from that speed?
It does for me.
Mm.
I think that it just takes me a while, not so much to get generally pretty good at thinking up the way I want my narratives to go and the kinds of characters I want in there, but just getting all my sentences just the way I want them. It's like winding up a clock, but the gears are really, really sticky, so you have to spend a long time wiggling the gear back and forth, and trying to get it all the way backwards takes me a long time. And that's that refining of the sentences and the line-by-line stuff is really arduous.
Where's the fun?
The fun is when you feel it click right into place and start ticking, then you get to enjoy that for a while and feel great about yourself. And then it's on to the next one.
Right. The novel is Double Feature. It is out in paperback from Scribner. Owen King, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much, and best of luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Owen King's latest is Double Feature. It is published by Scribner. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.